Today's daf is Bav Metzia daf Ayin Vav. We are holding on the bottom of daf Ayin Hey and Beis. We are now about to begin the sixth parak of Maseches Bav Metzia. So mazel tov to everyone for completing Eizeh Huneshech to the extent that we completed Eizeh Huneshech. So let's begin the new parak is going on. Socher Zumnin is going to be about hiring workers, and specifically our Mishnah is going to talk about what if someone backs out in middle of the deal. The worker has not completed the job yet, and either he backs out or you back out. The first line of the Mishnah, though, is somewhat cryptic. It says, "V'hitu zeh ezeh." This one has caused some problem for the other one. So the Gemara is going to have two basic explanations of what v'hitu zeh ezeh means. The entire Amud Aleph is going to be working on one explanation, where we assume it means that the Balabayis had asked a shliach to hire workers for him, and in some way the shliach misrepresented the Balabayis. That's what we work on in Amud Aleph. However, even within that, there are two possible ways that can go. One way is that the Balabayis wants to pay $3 an hour to the workers, but his shliach told them that they're going to get $4. The Gemara has three explanations within that why the workers have taromes, have tainas on the Balabayis if they agree to such a deal. Then the other permutation of that is that the Balabayis said, "I'll pay $4, but the shliach misrepresented the Balabayis and said that no, he's going to pay $3. And the Gemara is going to discuss what's the halacha if the shliach misrepresents the Balabayis and the worker says, "Yeah, I accept what the Balabayis said." So what does he mean by that? Does that mean I accept what the Balabayis said based on what he actually said? Or I accept what you told me the Balabayis said? And we're going to compare that to a case of a shliach for a get. But then the second way of understanding the first line of the Mishnah has nothing to do with the shliach misrepresenting the Balabayis. The second way of understanding the first line of the Mishnah is going to come up in Amud Beis, is going to be in Ibayis Ema, is about a Balabayis or a worker who backs out before the work starts. That you hire them, and then before they even begin the day, before they even begin the work, someone backs out of the deal. And we're going to distinguish between whether they already showed up to work or they didn't even show up to work yet, and in terms of what you have to give them, if anything. Now the Gemara is going to discuss if the workers quit halfway through the job, machlokas exactly how to figure out how much you owe them if they did half the job, but then they quit halfway through the job. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to talk about when workers show up and there's no work to be done. When do they get paid like a po'el batel, that at least you pay them for the amount that they would get paid to take the day off, and when don't they get paid at all if they show up and there's no work to be done? For example, you hired them to water the fields, but it rained the previous night, so they show up and the field is saturated. That kind of thing. So let's begin the parak on the bottom of Ayin Hayam and Beis. Hasochers Humnin v'hitu zeh ezeh. Someone hires workers and they are hitu zeh ezeh. So again, that line Rashi says mefarish b'gemara. Where in the Gemara? The entire daft today is all about that line, the hitu ze ze, what exactly that means. In that case, whatever it might mean, they only have tainas on each other, but there is no monetary claim on each other. All they could do is have tainas, is have complaints against each other. If you hire a donkey driver or you hire a kadar, now kadar seems a little out of place because kadar is a potter, and what are you hiring these people to do? To bring prifrin v'chalilim for a kala or a mace. Prifrin, Rashi says, are eitzim meshupim v'noyim, are nice smooth pieces of wood that you can make a nice canopy with, and chalilim are flutes that they're going to use, musical instruments that they're going to use for a wedding or for a mace, so for a levaya. Now these things, why would you have a potter do any of these things? It seems a little out of place. So Tosus writes, es a karar. Tosus has a girsa, not kadar but karar. Bishnei Reishin, Tosa says, Vu Balkaron. It means a wagon driver. So that's the kind of person that you would hire to bring you things. That makes a lot of sense. And he says, Svarm Degarsi Kadar. And if you have our gear, so that it's Kadar, Yeshlomer Delachi Nakat Kadar, Lufisha Kadarim Ragilim Liosam Kronos. Even if you say it's a potter, the potter has to get his pots from one place to the other. So typically they have a delivery business. They have a wagon with which they can bring things from one place to the other. So either way, even if it's owned by a potter, it has nothing to do with his pots. It has has to do with his wagon, that he's a, that you hired him to bring things for you. So you hire a donkey driver or a wagon driver to bring items that you need for a wedding, that you need for a funeral. Upol in Lalos Pishtonim in Mishra, you hire workers to take the flax out of the flax soaking pool, which if you don't take it out in time, it's going to get ruined, it's going to get destroyed. The Kol Davar Shavid, and all these things that are a Davar Avid, any other example of a Davar Avid, where if it doesn't get done, you lose out entirely. So this is a good example. These examples that we gave of bringing things that you need for a wedding are a Davar Avid. You could hire someone else next week. Yeah, but if it doesn't come in time for the wedding, it doesn't help me very much. So you may be able to deliver the item, but if it's sometimes time is of the essence, and if you don't get it in time, then it's an absolute Davar Avid. So in any of these types of situations, you hired someone to do something for you, that's a Davar Avid, v'chazruben, and they back out, makom she'ein sham adam socher alein amitan. If there's no other person that you can hire in their place for the same price, and you're relying on them, so you have two options. You could be socher aleihem. Rashi explains that means b'nei adam b'yoker v'aleihem l'shalim. You could hire people at a more expensive price, because you'll always be able to find that. Hire people at a more expensive price and charge these guys, because they should have been the one to do the work. So you could take it out of their wages that you owe them for whatever they did, or make them pay for it afterwards, sue them in Beis Din afterwards to pay for whatever you had to hire these more expensive workers. Or mitan, the Gemara is going to explain, it means you can fool them, that you can tell them, oh, I'll pay you twice, I'll double your salary, and then they'll do the job, and then you pay them what you originally agreed to pay them, because they were the ones that backed out, so they're actually bound by that original agreement. Now, when we talk about socher esu umnin, what exactly are umnin? There are different types of workers that we have. We have what's called the schir yom, and we have what's called the kablan. The schir yom gets paid by the day, a kablan gets paid by the job. What are umnin in particular? You know, there's these big differences in terms of dinei chosh mishpat and dinei Shabbos and all other sorts of dinim between a schir yom and a kablan. So Tosus points out in the first Tosus of Yer, socher esu umnin, mashmalei bein b'schir yom, bein kablanus, either one. These halachos apply no matter what kind of arrangement you have in terms of paying the worker. Aval pirkin de basarachi nakat poalim mishum de poalim lo mashmel eschire yom de bachi mayri. That later on we're going to discuss socheres hapoalim. Poalim is dafka eschire yom, is dafka someone who works by the day. Now Tosus asks further in the Tosus, Tomer Daniel Kaman b'shmaitin ha socheres hapoal u b'chatzi hayom shama shemes lo meis. Im sachiru v'im kablanu, talks about socher poel, and then it makes it starts branching out and saying, well, what kind of poel was this? If he was a sachir, then it's one way, and if he was a kablan, then it's another way. But it called him a poel. But if we're just establishing a rule right now that when we say umnin is a generic term that can refer to either kind of worker, it could be a schir yom or it could be a kablan. Poel, oh, that implies schir yom. Well, then why later on do we discuss socher as a poel? And it could be, and the Gemara is explicit that we could be talking about both the schir yom and the kablan. It should have said avale the minkat uman de mashmat revayu. It should have chosen in the word that really means both of them. Now what it really means to say is, if he's actually a poel, which is a schir yom, then the halacha is one way. But if it were not like we said, it were not a poel, it were not a schir yom, then the halacha would be something else. We're not saying that the option of kablan is another interpretation of poel. Poel only means schir yom. What the Gemara is going to be saying later on is that if it's as the Mishnah had presented it, that it's a poel, that's one thing. And if it's not as the Mishnah presented, but it were a different case, it were a kablan, then that would be something else. But the rule is that Tosus emerges with is that umnin means either one. Umnin means schir yom or a poel. Says the Mishnah further, as socheres umnin, you hire an uman, you hire a worker, v'chazru behen, and they back out, Yadam ala tachtona. They have the lower hand. You have the upper hand in terms of paying them. What does that mean, you have the upper hand? Let's say the cost of the work is now going to cost you more. So they did half the job. Let's say you hire them for $100 to do the whole job. They did half the job. But to get the other half of the job done, it's going to cost you $75. It's not going to cost you $50. So you can pay them $25. You don't have to pay them the $50 for half the job that they did. You could pay them $25. Let's say the cost of the job went down. Now you can find someone to finish the job for $25. It's not going to cost you $50. So they're going to say, okay, so then give us $75. You only wanted to pay $100 for the job. No, you only have to pay them $50. They're the ones that backed out. So that's yadam ala tachtona. In balabayis chozer, but if the balabayis is the one who backs out, yado ala tachtona, then he's the one that has the lower hand, meaning he's got to pay them their $50, even if it's going to cost him more to finish the job. And if it's going to cost him less to finish the job, then he's going to have to pay them the $100 minus what it's going to cost him to finish the job. It's yado ala tachtona, and the rule is kala mishane yado ala tachtona. If anyone changes from what they were hired to do, they do something differently, then it's yado ala tachtona. They get the worst of the possible deals, and anyone who backs out is yado ala tachtona. What does it mean, mishana? So Rashi gives, for example, nasan semer letzaba letzavo edom. You give wool to a dyer to dye the wool red, utzvo shachar, and he dyes it black. So if the shevach is more than the yetziah, if the increase in value of the wool is greater than the expense that it took to dye the wool, so you don't have to pay the full schar for it. You pay whatever it cost him to dye the wool. If the yetziah is yesera ala shevach, if the whatever it cost to dye it was greater than the increase in value, you only have to pay the increase in value. That's what it means, because he did wrong, because he didn't do the job the way he was supposed to do it. So therefore, it's yado ala tachtona, and you get to pay the lesser amount when it comes to paying his wages. Good, says the Gemara. Chazru ze baze lo katani. That first line of the Mishnah, you hire workers, right? We're all ready to start a new parak. We say, you hire workers, we got through the first three words, and then, vihitu ze ze, who's hita, what? What's that all about? So it doesn't say chazru ze baze. Chazru ze baze, I would get. Chazru ze baze would mean that they backed out on the job. But what's hitu ze baze? If you look at Rashi, chazru ben lo katani, dinavi hai hitu heimes balabayis o balabayis o son, dimken avlu misin loshon chazara. If the workers fooled the balabais or misled the balabais, or the balabais misled the workers, then that's what it should say. It should say chazru ze baze. Elehitu ze da'atu po'alim adadi. Hitu ze gives the impression that the workers themselves are fooling each other. Well, what exactly is that about? What's the case where workers themselves are fooling each other? So hechi dami, what exactly is the case? So says the Gemara, well, there are going to be two basic approaches that we have, as we mentioned before. One approach is going to take us through the rest of Amud Aleph and a little bit of Amud Beis, and then the second approach is going to be introduced about a third of the way down the page on Amud Beis. So approach number one is as follows, that it is workers who fooled each other, because it's not that you, the balabais, hired a worker directly. You hired someone to hire workers for you. You got a middleman to hire workers for you, and that middleman is fooling the workers, is messing up. So damale balabais zil ogre li poalim. The balabais tells the shliach, go hire for me workers, vazel ihu vat inhu, and he went and he misrepresented you. Say chidami, how exactly did he misrepresent you? Ida amalei balabais par ba'a vazeli hu amalu betlasa. If the balabai says, look, I'm willing to pay $4, so go hire me a worker for $4. And the shliach knew that he can get a better deal, he's a better negotiator, so he went and he hired workers and he got them to agree to do the job for $3. Tarumus mayavidte. Why would anyone have any tainas on anybody over here? The balabai should be thrilled, he should be doing cartwheels that he just got this work for cheap. And the workers are getting paid. paid exactly what they agreed to get paid. No one ever told them they were getting more. So why would anyone have any tainas? Sofer v'kabil, they knew what the deal was, and they accepted the terms of that of their employment. So ida amalei balabayis betlasa. What if it were the reverse though? The balabayis said, "I'm willing to pay 3." Va'azaliu amalu barba. And the shliach said, "Nah, you're never going to get anyone for 3." So he decides on his own to go hire someone for 4. Say echidami. Well, what was the halacha? The Mishnah said in the case of Hitu Zezeh, there's no monetary claim. There's only tainas. They only have tainas on each other. So what exactly would the case be where they'd have tainas on each other? Balabai said, "I'm willing to pay 3." The shliach hired people for 4. Say echidami. Idarvelu scharchem alai nasav lumi didei. If the shliach took responsibility, he said, "Scharchem alai, I'm willing to pay for whatever it's, your wages are." So then it's not just taromes. There's dinim amanus over here. The worker, the shliach rather, is responsible for the wages of the worker. That's actual dinim amanus. Ditanya, because after all, the Braisa tells us hasocher sapoa lasos bishalo. If you hire someone to do work for you, veheru bishal chavero, and instead of showing him your field to work on, you show him your friend's field to work on. You say, "Yeah, go do work over there." Nosin lo scharo mishalem. You have to pay those workers their full salary. And as far as what the guy whose field it was has to pay you, it's whatever the hana'a is. In general, you're yori the tok shal chavero. You go into someone else's field and you make improvements. You can only ask him to pay for the hana'a that he got, but not for the full wages. So that would be the same thing over here. The guy who hired the workers under his own terms, the shliach, he's going to have to pay for everything. He's going to have to pay for the wages of the workers. And the balabais will pay him the $3 back, but he's going to have to pay that extra fourth dollar. So there's actual dinim amnos over here. There's no taromes that anyone's going to have over here. The Tosus points out in Kuf Yud Ches that it's dafka if you hire him to do bishalo, they have to pay scharu mishalim. But if you scharu stam, then you don't have to pay mishalim. I mean, if you didn't say specifically mishalo. So Drish explains, what does he mean? That dafka where he said to the poel, "I want you to work in my field." So even though you showed him someone else's field, the poel believes it's your field, and that's why you have to pay him. But if you didn't tell him that you're hiring him to work in your field, so the poel knows that it's not your field, so he doesn't know who's paying his salary, so then you don't have to pay him. Then it's on the guy whose field he went to that you'd have to pay him, because the worker knew that it was less certain, that he didn't know exactly who was paying his salary. But anyway, the bottom line is that can't be the case of our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah we said that the only have taromes. So says Mar Lo Tzricha Dom Luscharchem al Balabayis. The shliach said that the balabayis is the one that's going to be responsible for your wages. So says Gemara, "V'luchsi polim hechi mitkari." Why don't we just check out what the cost of polim are? Meaning, if the cost of polim in that place is $4, so then the balabai should have to pay $4 because that's what they were mahanehim. So that's what he's going to have to pay. And if the cost is only $3, then they only get $3. So what's the taromes? Meaning, why would it be that they're only getting? It sounds like they're getting a certain amount, and the rest they only have tainas on. They don't have dinim amnus claim on. If workers get paid $4 in that location, they have more than tainas. They have dinim amnus. They could demand $4. If they only get $3 in that location, then they have no tainas to begin with. Because they were trying to overcharge, so they didn't get away with it. So then they have no tainas either. So it says there are 3 possibilities of why they would have tainas. When, again, the balabayis said, "I'm willing to pay 3. The shliach misrepresented the balabayis, says that the balabayis is willing to pay 4, and he specifically said the balabais is willing to pay for that. It's all on the balabais. What's the case where we say there is no dine mamanis claim that the workers can have, but they can have taromes? So number one, the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha di'ika demagar ba'arba'a v'ika demitkar bitlasa." There are some workers that will work for 4. There is no set price. There are some that will work for 4 and some that will work for 3. They could say to the balabais, "Look, if we would have known that you were only offering a salary of 3, we would have worked harder to do some marketing of our skills to the point that we would find a job to work for 4. We never would have taken the job at the cheaper rate, because we know that it's possible to find work out there for four. The Ritva writes that even if most of the Poalim get paid four and the miyut of the Poalim get paid three, he only has to give them three because ein holchen b'mamon achar arov. Meaning that's what we're saying. We're saying over here that the Baal Bais only has to give three and the workers can kvetch. They can say, oh, we should have, and they have tainas, but that's all they have. All they have is tainas. So says the Ritva, yeah, even if the majority of the workers get paid the higher salary, still all they have is tainas. However, the Shita Mukbetzes quotes from a Marach, from a Ramach rather, that if Rov Poalim get paid four, then the Baal Bais definitely has to pay the four. And according to the Teretz of the Gemara, it's Shava B'Shava or Rov Amistakram B'Shloshim. So B'Shloshim, he gives them Shloshim, even though there are some people that paid four, that get paid four because they're like Poalim without a Ketzitza, so he pays the lower price. But if it's a majority that gets paid the higher price, then you would have to pay the higher price. Says Gemara, second possibility. We're dealing with workers who are their own balabayas, meaning they're not stam workers. They also own properties. Granted, the market for workers is $3, but these aren't some workers you just pick up, you know, who are just looking to do whatever work they can find. These are dignified people who are property owners, and it would be beneath them to do a job for such a low price. So they're only willing to do it because they think that they're being offered for. So in that case, since the Poel is also a Baal Bais, they could have Taromas, they could have Tainas. The Shach writes that it's Mashma from the Tur that a Poel that's a Baal Bais is Mekabel Shlosha, even when there are Poelim that are Niskarim Barba, meaning that the Halacha we're saying over here is he only gets paid three, the rest is just Tainas, the rest is just complaints. That's true, even if there are Poelim out there that get paid four. Just like a regular Poel, we said that the Das Baal Bais is on the lower price, and that's what he's going to get. So that's what the Shach is medayik from the Lashon of the Tur. Iba yisem, a third possibility of why it is that they're going to have tainas, liolim bepolim askinan, we're talking about regular polim, not balabatim, da amri lei, kivan da amritan ba'arba'a, tarchin v'avdin lachavid tashapirta, where they say to the balabais, look, we thought we were getting paid above market, so we did work that was above market, meaning we worked a lot harder, and we did a much better job because of that, so therefore we have tainas. Had we known that we were getting paid only three, we would have done normal work. So v'lechsi avidatai, why don't we just check if that's really true? Meaning, let's examine their work. Is it so much better than all the other work that all the other workers are doing? Says Mar Berivka, it's the kind of thing that you can't tell because it was they were digging holes, they were digging ditches around the field, so you can't tell because it's full of water now, so you can't see how neatly those ditches were dug. So Rivka Dami Mediada. So says Gemara, can't you tell to see how neatly they were dug? Dimali Mayav Lo Yodia. So that's what I said before, that it was full of water, so they couldn't tell how well it was dug. Ibayasema, or another possibility of what the explanation of the Mishnah is, where you have the Baal Bais made a shliach to hire the workers, and the shliach misrepresented the Baal Bais, and the workers only have tainas. Another possibility is the olam da'amrle Baal Bais barba'a va'azul ihu amrlehu bitlasa. The Baal Bais said, I'm willing to pay four. The shliach negotiated a better deal and said that you're being hired for three. We already thought of that possibility and we rejected it. We said there can't be any tainas over there. With the comrades, Savav Kabil, they accepted to do the job for three. Why would they have any tainas in such a case? They could say to him, come on, you know the guy was willing to pay more money. Why would you hire us at a cheaper rate? It's such a struggle to make a living to begin with. And here's a guy who was happy to pay them more money. So that's the tainas they could have. They could have tainas on the shliach. Says Mar Pshita, Yamar Le Baal Bais is going to take us on a little bit of a tangent right now. Once we're talking about a middleman misrepresenting a Baal Bais, so the Gemara is going to discuss what if the middleman misrepresents the Baal Bais, and then the worker says, I agree to exactly what the Baal Bais said. But he has no idea what the Baal Bais said because the middleman had misrepresented the Baal Bais. So what are the terms of that employment? Are the terms of the employment what the Baal Bais actually said or what he was led to believe the Baal Bais had said? So Pshita, Yamar Le Baal Bais Pitlasa, Vazli Yamar Le Bar Ba'a. It's obvious that if the Baal Bais said that I'll pay three, and the Shliach went and he said that the Baal Bais is going to pay four, Va'amri Le, and the worker said, Kemosha Amar Baal Bais, we're going to do like the Baal Bais says, Ta'atayu Ailuya. Clearly, they're accepting a payment of four because that's what they think the Balabaya said. So says Tosas, Ta'atayu Ailuya, Ba'omerlu Scharcha Malai Airi. That's Dafka where the Shliach says that I'll take responsibility for your wages, like we said earlier. That's when they're gonna get paid for, and the Shliach is gonna be the one that takes the loss. The Ta'amerlu Scharcha Mal Balabayas, My Naf Community, Ta'atayu Ailuya, the Balabayas Lo Yishayim Lemel Masha Hisna. But if the deal was that the Balabais is going to be responsible for all the wages, then they can't demand four from the Balabais. Balabais never agreed to pay four, so they can't demand four from the Balabais. So clearly it's talking about a case where the Shliach said, Scharcham alai. Ele'i amrle Balabais par ba'a. But if they said that the Balabais, if the Balabais actually said he's willing to pay four, Vazal Ihu Amalu Batlasa, the Shliach says the Balabais is willing to pay three, misrepresenting the Balabais, he's really willing to pay four. The Amri and the workers say, Kamishamar Balabais, we accept the terms of the Balabais. My, what's the din? What terms are they really accepting? Are they trusting the Shliach that it's really three and therefore they're only going to get paid three? Odilma Dibur de Balabais Kasamchi, or are they really saying, I don't know what you're telling us. Whatever you're telling us, we're not listening. But whatever the Balabais really said, that's the terms that we're really accepting. So which way do we assume? Says Gemara Tashma. We'll bring a raya from a case of a get, where also you have a shliach who misrepresents himself. The woman and her husband, now they're separated. They don't live in the same city. So they have a shliach that goes back and forth to receive the get from the husband and potentially bring it back to the wife. Except when it comes to a get, there are two types of shliach. There's what's called the shliach lekabalah and a shliach lahalacha. A shliach lekabalah becomes the woman. He takes on the status of the woman in the sense that as soon as he receives the get, it's ki'ilu the woman already received the get. He need not deliver it to the woman because it doesn't matter. She's already divorced the second he's mekabel the get. A shliach lahalacha becomes the husband. He represents the husband. So he has to actually bring the get to the woman, and she's not divorced until the woman actually receives the get. So what if there's some confusion about what kind of shliach he is because he misrepresents what kind of shliach he is? The woman tells the shliach, Havei li giti, I want you to bring me my get. You're a shliach lehalacha. I'm not making you a shliach lekabalah. But then the guy goes and tells the husband, V'ishtacha amra, Hiskabel li giti, your wife told me that I can be mekabel the get, that I'm a shliach lekabalah. V'u'amar, and the husband says, Helech masha amra, here's the get, just like she said. So which is it? What does it mean, just like she said? Just like you're saying she said, or just like she said she said? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Aravua, Amar Rav Afilu Giyaget Liada Enim Ugrashas. She's not going to be divorced at any point. Not when the shliach receives the get, nor when the shliach delivers the get. Shema Mina Dibura Dideka Samach. Must be that the husband was relying on the shliach's representation. The shliach represented himself as a shliach lekabalah. He wasn't a shliach lekabalah. So if the wife never authorized him to be a shliach lekabalah, and the husband never authorized him to be a shliach lahalacha, so then he's unauthorized. He's not anything. So therefore, the get's not a good get at all. But if you assume that the husband was willing to go along with whatever the wife actually said, which was a shliach lahalacha, so then the husband was also agreeing to make this guy a shliach lahalacha, and therefore, when she actually receives the get, she should actually be divorced, because both of them had agreed that she's a shliach lahalacha. If you assume that the husband was relying on what the wife actually said and not what the shliach represented. So Rav Ashi, Hachi Hashta. Rav Ashi says, no, you cannot bring a raya from there. That is a bad comparison. Bishlama I itmar ibcha. If the case would have been the opposite, if we would have said the opposite, then you would have had a raya. For example, Hiskabeli Giti, the woman makes the guy a shliach lekabala. V'ishtecha amra haveli giti. And then the guy tells the husband, your wife made me a shliach lo'olacha, the exact opposite of what actually happened. And remember, a woman is authorized to make a guy a shliach lekabala because that's her role in the get. The husband is authorized to make a shliach lo'olacha, that's his role in the get. V'hu omer, and then the husband says, Helech kemosha amra, do what she said. So if at that point, v'amrav nachman, amrav bavua, amrav, mishegeh get liyadu megreshes, if the halacha would have been in that case, that when she receives the get, she's megreshes, Amada Dibura Dida Kasamich. I'm sorry, the Adom Megreshes, that when the Shliach gets the get, she's Megreshes right away, and the Shliach doesn't even have to go deliver it, then that would be a good Raya that the husband is giving under the conditions that the woman had said, and not what you represent the woman to have said. Inami, or if we would have said in that case, Mishigeget Liada Migureshes, that she's only divorced once the get actually gets delivered, then Alma Dadi Buridide Pasamich. Then it would be very clear that the husband is giving the Shliach the get on his own say so, on the Shliach's say so, and what the Shliach is representing, and not based on what the woman had said, because the woman had made him a Shliach le Kabbalah. So the husband saying, no, you're telling me you're a Shliach le Olacha, those are the terms that I'm agreeing to, and therefore the woman's only going to be divorced when she actually receives the get, when he actually delivers it. So that would have been a great raya if anyone would have said any of those halachos. Ela hasam, but in the case that we presented, where the woman said, be my shliach la'alacha, and then the shliach said, ah, I'm a shliach la'kabbalah, he misrepresented himself as a shliach la'kabbalah, the reason they're not divorced at all is mishum dakar shliach l'shlichusei legamrei. The shliach was completely uprooting his shlichus. He was being lazy. The woman said, I want you to become a shliach la'kabbalah, la'alacha rather, which involves going and receiving the get, and then bringing it all the way back to me. He was lazy. He didn't want to do that. He would rather just receive the get, and then that's it. Then be done. He doesn't want to have to go deliver it to her. So once he's being oker shlichus, damalei shliach lekabala avina lalacha lo avina, he's saying, I'm willing to be a shliach lekabala, I'm not willing to be a shliach lalacha. So then you have no raya. The guy is not agreeing to the shlichus. So therefore, that's why they're not divorced at all, because he's completely uprooted the shlichus that the woman had sent him for. So that does not serve as a raya. Period. That's the end of the first discussion. Now, comes along the Gemara and says, maybe we're misunderstanding this first line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, hitu ze ezeh. So our initial understanding that we've been working with is that there must be a third party involved. It's not just a direct negotiation between Balabayas and a worker. It's a representative in between. It's a shliach in between who's hiring the worker and misrepresenting what the Balabayas' true offer is. Says the Gemara, no, maybe that's not what's going on at all. Ibai say mahaitan. We're dealing with a case that involves direct negotiation between the balabais and the workers. And yeah, I could have said chazru, but hitu is a word that works just as well as the word chazru. And detanya, sochers u'umnin, someone hires worker, v'hitu hires workers, v'hitu as balabais. O balabais hitu o son. And they back out on each other. One of them backs out on the other. Elam zelza ela taromas. All they have is taromas. So you see, he uses the word hitu, but it doesn't really mean hitu. It means chazru. Bamedvar mamurim. When do we say that they only have tainas on each other? Meaning, I hire you to do a job, and then I say, I call you up the night before the job, and I say, I hired someone else. I thought of someone else. So you can have a lot of tainas and reasonable tainas. It's fair to have tainas, but you can't sue me. There's no dine mamunis against me. That's only shalohalchu. That's if you didn't show up to the job. I called you the night before and I said, don't bother coming to work tomorrow because I hired someone else. Aval holchu chamarim v'lo matzu tvua. But if you hire donkey drivers to go schlep your tvua, and they went with their donkeys, and there's no tvua to be schlepped, po'alin u'matzu sadik shilach, you hire workers to water your field, they show up and there's no field to be watered, the field is already moist. Noslem schar mishalim. Then you have to pay their full schar. Aval einu doma habat ta'un lebar rekod osam lach liyoshev batal. Then the Gemara says, it doesn't really mean they're full schar, because there's no comparison between a person who shows up to work that day and finds out that he doesn't have to do work that day versus showing up to work and finding out that he has a whole day of work ahead of him. So you only have to pay them like a poel batal, meaning people work because they need to work, they need to make money. So how much would most people would rather take a day off, but they can't, they just can't afford to. How much would a person be willing to take a day off? Meaning if he makes $1,000 working today, how much would he be willing to take to not work today? If you have $500, then that's what you pay him, then that's what you pay the workers. Bamedvar mamurim shlo eschilu b'melacha. This is all if they hadn't even started the work. Meaning, so far we had two levels. They hadn't even showed up. they showed up and haven't started, and now we're going to discuss, okay, they showed up and they actually started. If they already started the work, then you have to assess what work they did already. Ketzad, for example, what does it mean? Kiblu kama liktzar b'shnei slayim. They said that they'll harvest the field for two slayim. Katzru chetzya v'inichu chetzya. They harvested half and they left the other half. Begadarug b'shnei slayim. They said they would weave a garment for two slayim. Argu chetzya v'inichu chetzya. They wove half of the beged and they left the other half of the beged unwoven. Shamlan es masha asu. We have to evaluate what they already did. Hayyafa shisha dinarim. If it was worth 6 dinar, nosilam sella, then you give them a sella, o yigmaru malachim v'yitlu shnei slayim, or they finish the job and they could get shnei slayim. Meaning, if the finishing up the job doesn't cost the amount that you would expect based on, doesn't cost half of what you had agreed to pay them. So then they have the option of finishing up the job at the original price, or they can get paid the work that they did. They can get paid half of the wages that they actually did. So that meaning shisha dinarim means that the schar poalim went up. So now, if you want to hire more workers, you're not going to find for less than a sella and a half. So you originally hired them to do the whole job for two slime. They did half the job, so you pay them one sella. So you think, okay, good, I'll find someone to finish the job for one sella. But you're not going to be able to. You're only going to find people to finish the job for a sella and a half. So even though the balabai is going to lose out because he's going to have to pay six plus the four. He's going to have to pay 10 dinars instead of the 8 dinars that he originally planned to pay, but he cannot deduct that from their payment. He has to give them a sella like he agreed, or tell them to finish the job and give them shnei slayim. V'im sella no silem sella. Rabbi Dosa says shamalen masha asale asos. We evaluate how much the half that's left to be done. And hayyafa shisha dinarim. If the half that's left to be done is going to cost him 6 dinar, it's going to cost him a sella and a half, then nosalem shekel. Then you only have to pay them a half a sella because it's their fault for backing out. You know, they did half of the job, half of the two sella job, but now the rest of the job is going to cost me a sella and a half. So I only have to pay them a half a sella. Oh, yigmaru malachim v'yitlu shnei slayim, or they can finish the job and I'll pay them the original agreed upon price. Vim sella nosilam sella, and if it's exactly a sella, then you pay them the sella. But medvar mamurim b'davar shein avud. All this is by something that's not a davar avud. Where hiring another worker, well, the job will still get done and nothing's going to happen. Aval b'davar avud sochar leyan omitan. But if it's a davar avud where by these guys backing out, I'm done. I'm not going to have the work done in time. It's going to be terrible. So then I'm allowed to either hire someone and have them pay for the extra cost of hiring someone else, because it's going to cost more money to hire someone else, or I can fool them. Ketzan mitan, how do you fool them? Omelen sela katsasi lechem bo tu shtayim. You tell them, you know what, I know I agreed to pay you only a sela, and I know that's not enough money for you guys to continue working because you're quitting. I'll give you two. I'll double your salary. Vad kama socher alehen ad arbaim mechamishim zuz. Up until 40, 50 zuz, you can hire and make them pay. That's if there are no other workers to be hired. But if there are other workers that could be hired for the same price, and you just want these guys to pay for it, that's not fair. Then you can only have tainas on them. You can't for backing out, but they're legitimate that they backed out, so it's legitimate tainas, but you can't get any dinim mamonis. This sugi about a davar aved, that when it comes to a davar aved, the halach is a poel is not allowed to back out, and he's going to lose out. You're allowed to charge him money if he backs out, because of whatever it's going to cost to finish the job. There's a lot of discussion in the poskim about teachers or rebbeim who aren't getting paid what they want to get paid, or what they feel that they deserve, or haven't gotten paid at all. Are they allowed to strike? Are they allowed to say, you know, we're not showing up to work because we haven't gotten paid? So in almost any other profession, if you're not getting paid, so you don't show up to work. Or if you're not getting paid what you think it's worth, so you can quit halfway through. And as long as someone else is able to be be hired. It's not your problem. They're not going to. They can't charge you. But by workers, by teachers rather, Rav Shturmach writes in Shuvus Van Hagos Chelik Beis Siman Tav Samach Aleph. He says it's a davra aved, and as a davra aved, they meaning for the children not to be learning is a davra aved, and for a davra aved, they're not allowed to, even if they're not happy with the conditions, they're not allowed to back out. Rav Aaron Cutler also thought that even Rav Aaron Cutler in his Shuvus says that even in the Mishnah Rabbi Aaron says that even for secular teachers, it's a davra aved, because just the children not having any structure in their day and just being walking around the streets is also a very terrible thing. So that's also considered a davar aved. Ramesha says, you know, Ramesha has a tshuva where he says, but you know, think about it. The rebbeim aren't really getting paid to be rebbeim; they're getting paid schar batala, because you're not allowed to get paid to teach Torah. So they're getting paid not to do anything. So he says, you don't have to take schar batala if you can find a job. So he says, to just stop strike and say we're not going to do anything, that they probably can't do. That they're not allowed to do. But if they can go find themselves another job, so they don't need schar batala anymore, so that they could do. They can go find themselves another job in the interim. But then he says it has to be done with COVID rosh and whatever, and you can't leave the children without teachers and whatever. You know, you still have to be very careful about leaving children not being unattended and not... So he says there's the ikur din of shvisa of po'alim, and it could be that you'll find heterim in shas and poskim. But then there's the fact that it's going to be bittul Torah for the children, and that's a very grave thing and something that has to be taken very seriously. That ein olam eskayim el b'schus hevel piyam shel tinoka shel beis rabban, and that's something that should be taken very seriously. I think one of the rebbeim when I first started teaching. When the Rebbeim told me he was at, I think, an Aguda convention, and Torah Masorah convention, and they had asked for Shmuel Kamenetsky, one of the Menahilim, and had asked for Shmuel Kamenetsky, can we tell the Rebbeim that if they show up late to yeshiva, that it's that if they show up late to shir, that it's that it's stealing, that they're stealing the salary, that they're showing up late to shir? He said, you could tell them it's Ritzicha. Forget about telling them that it's stealing. That you could tell them that they're entrusted with these neshamos, and they're not showing up to teach them. Tell them it's Ritzicha. Tell them it's worse than stealing. So that's a responsibility that the Rebbeim have to take very seriously. Okay, we'll stop there. Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Tani Tanakh, Amei D'Rav, tomorrow. Oh, yeah.